with bowed heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together as family this morning. Thank you for giving us Holy Scripture, for it is the truth that sets us free, Father. We're just so blessed to be here to study it in a place that you've ordained for this congregation to break bread and to just fellowship in this unique way, Father. We're just so thankful and grateful for all that you've done. It's your mercy and your grace and your love that's so evident in times like this, and we just really appreciate being able to bask in it. Father, we pray for those in the congregation that can't be here with us this morning to fellowship in this sweet way. We want them to know that we're with them in spirit, and we're praying for their return and your good timing, of course. We pray also for those still lost in this world, Father, that they be humbled and receive saving faith before it's too late. We are most grateful and thankful, of course, for your Son's work to cancel out that debt and to make times of rejoicing like this, times to be washed over, even possible. We do just ask for your blessings on this morning's message. May it be edifying for our souls. We ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. By the power of the Spirit, we do pray. Amen. Stress, part one. Ever felt like this? Amen? Right? The first question the Spirit wants me to ask is, what are your options? So you find yourself in that situation where most of you are like, yep. And as we're going to see, I've got some statistics for you this morning. That yes is on the rise in this world. But before we get to that, just a question to ask to situate ourselves. What are your options then? In that moment, so you find yourself there, what are your options? And this is what the Spirit's got in store for us. But let's start with some sobering statistics up here on the board. You can get these from just about anywhere, but this website, the recoveryvillage.org, did a nice job pulling all statistics from a variety of places together, so I'm just going to quote them. Stress facts and statistics. At times, stress is a helpful tool capable of boosting energy and attention. If you're an athlete, you know what that is like. You know, it's a good thing. It heightens your sense of awareness and your ability to react to outside stimuli. In some circumstances, stress is a good thing. Most of the time, though, stress is a negative force in a person's life that triggers a host of unwanted effects. Next slide. According to the American Institute of Stress, about 33% of people report feeling extreme stress. That's a lot. Extreme stress. One third, 77%, three quarters plus, of people experience stress that affects their physical health. Psychosomatics is a fancy word that addresses some of that. 73% of people have stress that impacts their mental health. 48% of people have trouble sleeping because of stress. Unfortunately, as I alluded to earlier, for about half of all Americans, levels of stress are getting worse instead of better. I could go on and on about what I think that's from, but I digress for too long. But it makes total sense. If you know anything about economy and globalization and all that kind of stuff, the American way of life is changing. And it's not how most Americans would think of as positive. So this stimuli, this outside pressure, is going to get worse. And so it's important for folks like us that understand and have a relationship with the Lord, who has everything under control, to understand the truth of the matter and what are our options. Next slide. The Global Organization for Stress reports that 75% of Americans experienced moderate to high stress levels in the past month. Stress is the number one health concern of high school students. Oh, come on! Those are supposed to be the fun times. Number one concern of high school students, stress. And 80%, four-fifths, feel stress at work. A lot of stress in this world. Just saying. A lot of stress. Next slide. Depending on a person's thinking patterns and coping skills, almost anything can cause stress. Some of the most frequently cited sources of stress include money, work, the economy, family responsibilities, relationships, personal health issues, housing costs, job stability, family health problems, and personal safety. Next slide. The most common symptoms of stress and the percentage of people who experience them include irritability and anger. Well, now that explains all of you. Just kidding, right? 45%, about half people are irritable and angry. All you just look outside. Drive to any, like, drive to the center of Taunton or a mall. Everybody's just, like, angry and irritable. You can't even, you know, anyways. You go, anybody that's working retail, forget it. It's like they're doing you a favor. Anyways, 45%. Fatigue or low energy, 41%. Lack of motivation or interest in things, 38%. I just described the millennial generation, the millenniums. There's a whole generation there. Eh, meh. How's work? How's life? How was that steak? Right? It's like, come on, have something. Have some, just like nothing. It's like, it's okay. 36% anxiety, nervousness, or worry. These are the most common symptoms. Next slide. Those common symptoms continued. Headaches, 36%. Feeling sad or depressed, 34%. Indigestion, acid reflux, or upset stomach, 26%. Muscle tension, 23%. Appetite changes, 21%. Look, there's a lot of things that go on when you're stressed out. A lot of symptoms. And they're not border cases. They're not on the fringe. This is mainstream. Next slide. People may also experience sexual problems, weight changes, diarrhea or constipation, forgetfulness, and lack of attention. Next slide. Stress affects the entire body and is linked to many co-occurring mental and physical health problems like heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, and anxiety, all because of stress. I have a guy that I work my other job in tech. He had recently, there's been a bunch of changes, and I think I told you the story before. I was in one job 20 years ago, and This guy was literally an Army Ranger. So if you know anything about Ranger school and how difficult it is to get through, it's really hard. Like, really hard. He got this job. He was an Army Ranger medic, which is even harder, in a previous life. He was in this tech job with me, and he had to get bypass surgery. His doctor said, dude, 6 months ago, you were totally healthy. What just happened? He goes, now I got to put you on medicine. He goes, I'm under so much stress. Yeah. Guy I work with now, his blood pressure went up to 180 over like 140 or something. Why? Stress. All because of stress. Next slide. Long-term stress is often a contributing factor in many of the leading causes of death in the United States, including heart disease, cancer, lung disease, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, that's related to alcoholism, of course, and suicide. Stress. Long-term stress. And one more slide up here on the board. Can stress cause death? As it's directly associated with the 6 leading causes of death. Directly associated with the 6 leading causes of death. Stress can be called a silent killer. So, from our perspective, I mean, we want to come at this the right way. We don't necessarily want to read the next self-help book. We want to read this book, right? We want to see, what does the Bible have to say about all this stuff? The 6 leading causes of death, directly affected by stress, associated with stress. All right, so that's why the Spirit's got me teaching about stress this morning. Because honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, I've suffered these things. You all have intimated with me that you've suffered many of these symptoms, which means that we've got some work to do. So that's what the Spirit's got me, or why he's got me teaching stress. Well, profound problems must be addressed. So, as we began with this morning, what are our options? When you're under stress, what are your options? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't necessarily want to die right now, a painful death, because stress had got the best of me. So what are our options? There are so many medical studies on this topic that the evidence is overwhelming for it. But would you at least afford me the freedom to postulate this up here on the board? Stress kills? Can we just agree with this? Is that fair? Stress kills. Statistically speaking, it's associated with the top 6 reasons for death. So let's just simplify it. I'm going to do some simplification in this series because, listen, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychoanalyst. I only share that stuff so that you see what I see. I mean, if you've been around for any period of time, you see it plainly. You'd have to have your eyes closed not to see, especially in Massachusetts. You'd have to have your eyes closed not to see what stress is doing to people. But I'll just start with this, okay? Based on all, whoop. Hey, I didn't say next slide. Remedial training, stress on you. It's just like, oh. Right? I'll just start with this, okay? Based on statistics, stress kills, okay? So, before we get on with scripture, though, let's get working, at least a working definition while we're at it, up here on the board, from Merriam-Webster. Stress, a constraining force or influence, such as A force exerted when one body or body part presses on, pulls on, pushes against, or tends to compress or twist another body or body part. A physical, chemical, or emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease causation. So we have a cause and effect even. A state resulting from a stress, especially one of bodily or mental tension resulting from factors that tend to alter an existent equilibrium. Now, in order to approach an issue, you have to understand the fundamentals. And by definition, for example, we just noted stress always has a cause and effect to it. When you contemplate stress as a topic, there's always a cause and effect. In other words, by definition, there's always some identifiable reason for stress. Stress doesn't just happen on its own. Okay? Just doesn't happen. There's always a cause. It may be obvious, or that cause may be obvious, or it may take a medical professional to ferret out the reason for it, but there's always a reason. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing to know. There's always a reason, which means you can approach it appropriately. If you think you're just stressed out, I've heard people say this. They just think that stress is just happens, like it just is. Like, it's always been this way for me, so I'm just always going to be stressed out. But by definition, it's cause and effect. There's always a reason for that stress. So again, it may be obvious, but it may take a medical professional to ferret it out, but there's always a reason. The biggest reason, I believe, obviously, relates to spirituality. I just don't know. I mean, I'm just a blanket statement. I don't know how people do it without Christ in this world. I really don't. I'm surprised the wheels aren't blowing off. In some cases, they are. I believe it's primarily, especially for this conversation, spiritual issues, but we'll get to that sometime later in the series. For now, let's oversimplify for a moment. Hopefully you appreciate, I'm just laying the groundwork for the series. We're in a series, so relax. Think about what the Spirit's putting before you. It's a very real thing. But I do want to oversimplify for a moment. There are, and I will use this for the foreseeable future, there are two fundamental ways of dealing with stress. You can attempt to remove the cause. In other words, right? You can remove the cause, or, how'd I do? I removed myself. Those are your two options. You can remove the cause, or you can remove yourself from the cause. Because the two of you are apparently meeting. And pressure is causing stress. So you can either move this thing or move this thing. Otherwise, the stress remains. Okay? So I'm going to use that convention. So just bear with me. For example, last Sunday I intimated that I left a cause of stress. My home office. For Keene, New Hampshire. Why? Because apparently that was the method the Lord wanted me to take. And as a disclaimer, that doesn't mean that someday I won't have to do that, but in that moment, I had to remove myself from the source of my stress. That was option number two. The source wasn't going anywhere, so I had to. Okay. Am I tempted, or are you, in your judgment of me, tempted to think that maybe it's because I'm weak that I must do that? Well, why don't you have more strength, Mr. Pastor? Why can't you just, why couldn't you live in your office at home and be totally fine? Aren't you, you're weak. Am I tempted to do that? Yeah. Sometimes. And when I was younger and an idiot and less mature in the faith, I did it all the time. Thought it was a weakness. Man, you're weak. Maybe someday you'll get there, Ed. Someday. So yeah, I am tempted. Do I feel badly about it? About doing that thing, having to remove myself from the source of stress? Nope. Let me tell you why. For starters, ministry, I won't even talk about my regular job, my weekly job, I should call it, because this is my real job, just so you know. Tammy will attest to this. I work so that I can continue to do this without being too big of a burden on all of you. But in my weekly job, my daily toil in tech, I'll leave that out. That's hard enough, trust me. I just told you about a coworker of mine whose blood pressure is going through the roof. This is hard work. Ministry is hard work. So on that note, do I feel badly about having to remove myself from a source of stress, from something that pushes on me really hard? No. The ministry is hard work. The Bible says so. Go to Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. Mark 1, verse 35. So all that was just to lay the groundwork for this series, to get you thinking in conventions that I'm going to use. Again, I'm not here to try to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I'm just trying to teach you the Word of God. Right? And the first thing the Spirit said is, hey, listen, there's a problem. It's called stress. And you have to accept what that is in the first place. You have to put it in front of you. Mark 1:35, this is why I don't feel bad about leaving stress behind, stressful situations, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he, Christ, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Surprise, surprise. Everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Okay, is it fair to say that that's kind of hard work? Think about the conversations he had in those synagogues. Think about, when's the last time you casted out a demon? Hard work. So as we saw earlier, he would go away. He would go to a desolate place. Did he stay in that position and sit there and go, I'm the Son of God. I'll just stand right here. No, he went away. He left that thing, that situation behind, and went to a desolate place and prayed so that he could be rejuvenated. Okay? Apparently, Jesus himself needed to get away from the stress-inducing labor that his Father in heaven had given him to do. So, my first point of encouragement. My first point of encouragement up here on the board. Even Jesus removed himself from stressful situations. Don't ever feel condemned just because you need a break from those things that cause you stress. The strongest man to ever walk this earth isolated himself at times. So don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about it. The strongest man, Jesus Christ, who ever walked this earth, isolated himself at times. The worst thing you can do, and as an American man who purchased a lie from the kingdom of darkness from a very young age, I understand it, the worst thing you can do is to try to be a hero. My friend, you ready? You are no hero. You're not a hero. I know. Oh! Does that mean I got to get rid of the red cape? Yep. I've had some good friends over the years wear themselves down to a nub because they were trying to be someone's hero. If not for themselves. Or they had some image of what it means to, quote, be a man, often a result of watching media or buying some lie from media. This is what it means to be a man. Back in the day, it used to be a dude smoking Marlboros on a horseback with the grizzly jaw, right? Because he looked like a GQ model. So you felt insecure to boot. I never looked like that. I got my pot belly and my, you know, my generic cigarettes and my bald head. This is what it means to be a man. They have the music, you know, this sort of thing. It's a lie. People that bought that lie, the people that I know that continued with that lie, well, they look about 10 to 20 years older than they really are. They're haggard. So, I want to do a little housekeeping, so to speak, before we go any further on this topic. I think the Spirit wants to protect some of you from missing the point of this series that we are embarking on. And He's doing you a big favor right now. By removing any mental roadblocks or preconceptions you might have about dealing with stress. He's taking those off the table. The first one is this up here on the board. You are no hero. Heroes die young from stress-induced illnesses. You're not a hero, so just drop it. If anybody tries to bait you into being a hero, say no thank you. There's only one of those, and his name is Jesus. If anybody's a hero or a celebrity around here, it's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So stop looking at me like I'm your Savior. I don't have a red cape. I'm not your Savior. So stop. And if you want to be that person, if you've bought that lie, you know, because who doesn't like to hear that? Oh, you're my hero. All of a sudden you're like, I kind of am. All right? Yeah, that's, you're getting sucked into hell, into death, experientially speaking. You are no hero. Heroes die young from stress-induced illnesses. Let me ask you this question. Which life has more value to you and your loved ones? You being a hero, or you being there for them when they need you most? Which one has more value to you and your loved ones? You being a hero, or you sticking around long enough to be there when they need you most? To be healthy enough? Mentally, physically, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. Food for thought. Let's press on. Again, the point the Spirit's making here is up here on the board. Even Jesus removed himself from stressful situations So don't ever feel condemned just because you need a break from those things that cause you stress. The strongest man to ever walk this earth isolated himself at times. We noted that Jesus took time away. And that's just one instance. That's just one instance where it's called out in the Bible. That does fall into that second of the two options we have when dealing with stress. Number one being remove the stress. Number two being remove yourself. Jesus encouraged his disciples to remove themselves from the source of stress also. Go to Mark 6:30. Mark 6:30. So not only did he do it, he encouraged his disciples to do the same. So back to the original question, do I feel bad about doing it? Nope. Not when Jesus did it. Not when he encouraged his disciples to do it. Why would I ever feel bad about doing it? Why would you? Some people do. Why? Because they have a hero complex. Because they watched Audie Murphy when they were 10 years old and said, see, he stayed on the tank even though he got shot in the buttocks, as Forrest Gump would say, right? He stayed on that tank, darn it. And he shot down like 165 approaching enemies and he got the Medal of Honor and look at him, he's a hero, oh my word. He's at Arlington, you can see his gravestone, he's a hero. He stayed in there at the point of, la, 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 la. You have this sort of romantic notion about what it means to be a man even. I'm speaking from my own perspective. And you women have your own awfulness to deal with. Right? I mean, it comes that for you women, oh God, so bad. So bad. Oh, sweetie, you don't have any kids? It's okay. Oh, no, it gets worse. What? You didn't breastfeed? You guys are awful. You can look at us men and be like, yeah, you dummy, you watched Audie Murphy, you got sucked in. Oh, you got sucked into Cosmopolitan magazine. Do they even have that anymore? Anyways. Jesus encouraged his disciples to remove themselves from the source of stress. Go to, you're at Mark 6:30, right? The apostles returned to Jesus and told him. So they had been out doing their thing as he instructed them. They returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. In other words, that's a reference to the hard labor they had just completed. Man, we've been out doing all this stuff, Jesus. What do you think? He said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and what? Rest a while. Come away from the field, from the battleground. Spreading the gospel is a battle. It's hard work. Ministry is hard work. And as I've taught many, many times from this pulpit, you all have your own personal ministries. I'm certainly not the only one in the building with a ministry. It's just my job to equip you so that you can go out and fulfill whatever that calling is on your life. But if you do it as unto the Lord, there's going to be pressure and stress related to it. So he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. All I could think about in my notes, that in quotes, that old saying, there's no rest for the weary. Like, you do this, you go like this, right? So this is the pressure point. I don't know why I'm doing this, so just forgive me, right? So it's like you move yourself over here, and what happens? It chases you down. Because it's often related to human beings, isn't it? Let's face it, the greatest stress in this, at least in my experience, it's always other people, right? And other people have what? Legs. And cars. And phones. Ding. Oh, look, I've caught you again. Look at that. That's why cell phones are so stressful. It used to be, you know, they would have to come to you or call you on the phone. No, now they just text you. You get that thing right on your hip. It used to be if you weren't home, you were driving out in your car, no one could ever get in touch with you. Not now. My car, bing, it's in my screen on the car. Oh, man, what do they want? So I'm like, oh, does he really say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're tethered. Technology has brought us in this together. Stress is like always right in front of you, buzzing or dinging or whatever. Interrupting your drive. Look at the foliage. Ding! Bring! 10 speakers of Scott's voice. Oh, hey, Pastor! You want to go golfing? You don't sound like that, do you? and it's him usually I pick up. But you know what I'm saying. Anyways. No rest for the weary. Did Jesus tell his disciples to press on so they could be heroes? Oh, come on, suck it up, buttercup. Be a hero. Did he tell them that? I don't see that in Holy Scripture. Here's what I do see. I see a Christ that understood firsthand the stress of being a human being. That's what I see. Go to Hebrews 2:14. I see a Christ that understood firsthand the stress of being a human being. Listen, look. I'm going to tell you something from a shepherd's perspective. This is why you have to stick it out in a ministry like this. Because God knows, as do most of you by now, I teach some really hard lessons. Really challenging lessons. Right? And sometimes that's like, the scripture I use is, act like a man, stand firm in the faith. And you're like, yeah. But there's a balance statement. Do this. Obey his commands. Be obedient for crying out loud. Right? Some of you are like, oh, let's bring back bad memories, PTSD. Look, this is why you stick it out. Because that's just me having to do my job and teach what's truth. Those things are true. But so is this. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Look at verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. This is Jesus. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation, that means to satisfy God's judgment, for the sins of the people. In verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So, when you begin to understand that Jesus was 100% man, you need to understand that. He was 100% a man, a human being. And that, as the Bible clearly states, he was tempted in every way that we are, then you begin to appreciate what he went through to secure your salvation. You begin to appreciate what he went through. Is it fair to say that Jesus' ministry was hard labor? Can considering that was the culmination of it. But not even that, before you even get to the cross, he had to go remove himself. It was hard, and people chased him down. I think that's fair. It was hard labor, and he was a human being. What the Spirit's pointing out here is that while meeting the absolute demands of perfection to secure our salvation, Jesus personally learned of the pressure of obedience to the commands of God in a world dead set against us. He was tempted like you and I. He was a man. And he learned the pressure of obedience in human form. As a result of his own experiences while on earth, Jesus, therefore, was able to empathize with others. He was able to empathize. In other words, I understand. I understand. And if you watch Jesus' interactions with other people, you'll see it. You will see his empathy front and center. For example, go to Luke 22:31. Luke 22, verse 31. All you have to do is open your eyes to see it. Luke 22:31, perfect example of empathy. Simon, Simon, Peter, of course, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me. No, for real. Like, that scares me. Can you imagine if God came down right now and said, hey, just throwing it out there, FYI, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. I'm going to be like, I'll be right back. I got to go to the restroom. Right? Verse 32. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. There's Benny. Preach it. And when you have turned again, after you do fail, though never abandoning your faith, strengthen your brothers. In other words, encourage them empathetically. Remember this, in other words. Encourage them empathetically the way I am encouraging you now. He was teaching him. He was teaching him. He understood. He said, my friend, you're going to have Satan on your tail. And you're going to fail. You won't lose your faith. Not completely. But you're going to fail. And I get it. But remember this. When you turn, I want you to encourage other people empathetically the way I am with you right now. Hold that thought, because it has a lot to do with our topic this morning. Let's first see how weak Peter truly is, or was, as it manifests in his own ignorance even. Look at verse 33. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Now, what a proclamation, right? The greatest thing he could possibly proclaim is, I will go to death with you. I'm going to battle with you, Lord. Come on. Let's do this. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. What? What happened? He didn't even make it out of the gate. So the context again, Jesus knew that Peter didn't have faith to pass all tests, because the temptation from this world are immense. And Jesus got it. He was a human. He was tempted. He understood. Peter, I get it. I get it so much. I'm telling you right now, you're gonna fail. The rooster's gonna crow three times, or you're gonna deny me three times before the rooster crows. All right, let's go back to the previous verse for a moment. Go to verse 32. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Okay? Do as I'm doing right now. You're going to fail, but you will turn around because true faith never fails forever. The context is that because Jesus understood what it meant to be human, he felt the throes of human frailty, though he never failed. He understood firsthand. And because Jesus was empathetic towards humanity, he didn't press them beyond their own abilities. Now, this is my final point, but this is the capstone of this morning's message. So we laid all this groundwork, but the Spirit wants to sow something in you. And I'm pivoting off of what Jesus just taught Peter in that moment. You see what I'm doing for you? I'm going to leave. And so you, as my disciple, have to do it for the next person. And so on and so forth. All the way down, 2,000 years later, to all of you. Now you have to do that for the next person, and so on and so forth. Now, I need you to concentrate because this is a big deal. This is an extremely important topic that you all, especially, and for whatever reason, the Spirit pointed this out, I swear to you, it's in my notes, especially you husbands and fathers. If you're a husband and a father, or both, or not, or whatever, he's specifically emphasizing that relationship. And we can all learn from it, because we all have our own context. Concentrate. Extremely important topic that you all, especially you husbands and fathers, need to understand. As the Son of God in heaven, in his pre-incarnate state, Christ did not experience the human condition. It took a walk in man's shoes for him to become our Savior. Dwell on that, all of you. But especially those of you who have lacked or currently lack empathy for others. Listen very closely to my voice up here on the board. You can read it. You can hear it. Stress is relative. Stress is relative. Relative to what, you might ask? Relative to the context of a person's life, their own experiences, and their own wisdom, whether they have a ton of it or not much at all. Stress is relative to the context of a person's life, their experiences, their wisdom. And I was thinking about this because this is what the Spirit's drawing out of this. There's a, quote, funny phenomenon that we humans suffer from. And I look at it kind of this way. You look at it however you'd like, but hopefully I just want you to understand the point the Spirit's making. I'll call it out this way. I call it one-way mirrors. Humans are prone to judging others from their own position of strength. Yep. We have short memories. Once we are delivered from a type of weakness, we lose our tolerance for it altogether. often berating those still awaiting deliverance. Let me say it again, in case Benny distracted you. One-way mirrors. And that's how I think about it. You get on this side of the mirror, and you can see back through it. This side is reflective. So if you're on this side, you can only see what you can see. You get delivered and sanctified till you're on the other side, like, you remember, like the old cop shows where the cops are behind the mirror, and like, but the other person can't see anything? That type of thing. Once you get on this side, you have an understanding of what's going on there and over here. So you're in a position of strength. But the person that's still over here, that's never been on this side, only knows the context of what's over here. Understand? And we have a terrible habit. God does something by grace, mind you, delivers us to this side of the mirror, and then we go, what's wrong with them? We're prone to judging others from our own position of strength. We have short memories, apparently. Once we are delivered from a type of weakness, we lose our tolerance for it altogether, often berating those still awaiting deliverance. Now, considering this morning's message, you must ask yourself, did Jesus do that? Jesus, according to Holy Scripture, dined with sinners, prostitutes, and tax collectors. In other words, the social cast-offs. Was he pleased to know that the woman sitting next to him could have just had sex with another woman's husband? Of course not. Of course not. Did he throw her out in the street and treat her like a filthy whore? Nope. Nope. What did he do? He dined with her. He spent time with her. He understood her weaknesses. And instead of berating any of them as human beings, he gave them hope they had never known. He looked them in the eyes and said, come dine with me. I want you to talk with me. I want you to spend time with your Messiah. That's what he did. Did he remind them all of the things they ought to be stressed out over? Did he rush them from the table so they could go back to work and make more money? Did he ask them why they weren't down in the village square trying to evangelize people? Nope. He said in so many ways, come, take a load off. Come join me as I do the same. Why do you think his spirit had me write this week's blog up here on the board, How to Handle Stress? The secret to handling stress isn't digging your heels in. Rather, it's about transcending your circumstances. This is where true strength lies. Listen. The person who can sit down at the dinner table and relax is the person who resembles Jesus Christ himself. I'll say it again. The person who can sit down at the dinner table and relax is the person who resembles Jesus Christ himself. I just got a flash of Thanksgiving dinner. Some of you are dreading it because you're going to have to sit across the table from that one relative you can't stand. And it's already stressing you out. Why is it stressing you out? Oh, I forgot, because you're on this side of the mirror and you're looking back at them like an arrogant jackass. Completely unlike Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what it is. Well, when you put it that way, isn't it time to go? What happened? The person who can sit down at the dinner table and relax is the person who resembles Jesus Christ himself. For who, pray tell, had more pressure and stress placed on their shoulders than him? Who? Not you. I know. You still got the red cape. I know. You're just handling so much stress, nobody else could even understand the pressure you're under. Jesus Christ is our beautiful, perfect, glorious example of what it means to handle stress in this life. And he did it the same way we are able to. So we can learn a lot from Jesus' example. And so we will in this series. Go to Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. And so we will. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm really excited about this series. I don't have an idea of how long it'll go, but I do know that he had me do something I have rarely ever done, and that is put a part one on the title of a first message. Usually I just title it, and then it's part two and three, and then he takes it from there. He's parking it on this for whatever reason. Until next time, I'll leave you with our previous point up here on the board. Even Jesus removed himself from stressful situations. Don't ever feel condemned just because you need a break from those things that cause you stress. The strongest man to ever walk this earth isolated himself at times. Amen? That's Bard's. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time this morning. It is your time after all. We're just so grateful to you. We just ask for your blessings as we take the things we've learned back to the privacy of our own souls, back to our families, and out to a world that needs it so desperately. We ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. By the power of the Spirit, we do pray. Amen. Thank you.